9696.
This show furnished by NeuroHealth LLC.
You're listening to The Dr. D Show about neuropsychology and well-being.
Get the knowledge you must have to live a powerful, positive life.
The Dr. D Show. Here for you.
Welcome, listeners. This is Dr. D Show. I'm Dr. D, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist. It is wonderful to have you with me today. This show is psychoeducational. It's not meant to replace professional mental health advice or therapy. So if you do believe you suffer from a particular disorder, please do reach out to professional help. Many of the topics that I talk about on this show have to do all basically with mental health, with our state of mind, with various kinds of medical conditions that put us at risk in how we communicate with the world and how we take care of ourselves. And it makes us vulnerable. And I want to talk today about vulnerability. Many of you know that I post on Facebook every week before the show, a couple of days before the show, what the topic is going to be. What I like to do in this show is always to hone in into one or two at best particular areas in neuropsychology and psychology at large that we grapple with, that we really have difficulty processing as society and we're still not getting a good handle on, and basically cover what's out there in research, in professional knowledge in this area, basically for the betterment of society so we can get a handle on things just a bit better. I want to talk about a topic today that absolutely enrages me, and I feel that there is so much work that needs to be done in this area. 2 days ago, a teenager killed herself in front of her parents after relentless cyberbullying. An 18-year-old girl, a beautiful, talented girl, killed herself due to how her bullies created, among of the many things, by the way, that they did against her, they created a fake profile for her, offering sex for free and attaching her phone number so she could be harassed based on that process. And this girl was in such horror and torture and depression that she could not find a way out, could not see a way out of her horrible situation. Brandy Vila, that was her name, she killed herself with a shotgun in her bedroom as her family pleaded with her to drop the weapon after she sent a text to her sister that read, "I love you so much. Just remember that, please. Remember that, please. And I'm sorry, so sorry for everything." Her sister apparently rushed to the family home in Texas, alerted the parents and grandparents, and pleaded of her sister not to hurt herself. Her sister was crying and crying, and in those type of scenarios and moments, the person is in a frenzy of pain and really do feel they're in a very low place emotionally and psychologically. They're in a very fragile place, and we know that about accounts of individuals who attempted suicide. That's a very, very vulnerable point in time that they're in, where they feel there is no way out. And although her sister pleaded of her not to go through with the act, she did eventually shoot herself and ended up passing away in the hospital. Another young, beautiful life gone because of something so, so meaningless and stupid. And there's nothing else that I could say besides how stupid the whole thing is. I want to talk about it today because cyberbullying is on the rise. The numbers are staggering. The number of young individuals who are suffering every day from cyberbullying, who feel horrible about themselves, who feel deficient, who feel worthless. That's the word that many of them use. And just in the past couple of weeks, I've had two primary patients who are suffering from the same problem. One of them has attempted suicide 4 times in the past 6 months due to cyberbullying, primarily among other issues. Often the bullying that the person will go through is contentious. It's consistent. It is cruel. It is sophisticated, creating profiles on social media, selling services, creating fake pictures of the person as if they're naked or slutty or in all kinds of vulnerable positions. It's horrific, okay? The person is many times said things on social media that suggest to them to go and discontinue their life. One of the articles described what Brandy was going through, and some of the postings were saying, "Why are you still here?" They would call her fat and ugly. Sounds like from the articles, at least, that she was somewhat overweight or maybe had a weight problem, but it was a very beautiful, talented girl. And this issue of taking an identity of someone and destroying it based on any number of reasons is unacceptable. And we as society have not gotten a handle on it because we don't really, so many of us don't really do anything about it. We don't actually really actively stop bullies. Research shows that vast majority of individuals are afraid of confrontation. We try to avoid at any cost confrontation with another person or an argument. Now, it could be a cultural thing because in some other cultures, confrontation is very common. But at least in the way that we are structured socially, if a bully goes on to bully others, there aren't many people that are going to stand up against that bully. And I have to include in this accountability teachers. There are several times that I have seen, way too many times, where bullying was communicated to the school system and the school virtually did very little to stop the bullying. The bullying continued. Here's how it works with bullies. Giving them a warning is not going to do anything. Telling them that what they're doing is not okay is not going to do anything. A bully, by definition, is somebody who wants to be in somebody else's face, who feels the need to do that. And that person is likely to continue in doing that unless there are serious repercussions. There's something fundamentally wrong in our society that we don't know that there are times to use kindness and there are times to use strength. But there are times to use strength. There are times when we need to stop someone from doing something wrong. And we have to stop everything that we do until that issue is resolved. One of the problems that we're seeing is that people go back to day-to-day life while the bullying still continues. So a warning was shot out there and life goes back to normal. That is where the problem. No, life should not go back to normal until the issue gets resolved. It's too big of an issue. And before we go into a break, I just want to say there is a brilliant old statement from ancient Jewish writings that says, the one who is cruel, let me say it correctly, the one who is merciful to the cruel ends up being cruel to the ones who need mercy. Let me say it again. The one who is merciful to the cruel ends up being cruel to the ones who truly need mercy. So there are times that kindness is not appropriate because you eventually end up hurting somebody else. I want to hear from you today. I'm going to talk more about what we know about research. I'm going to talk about the psychology of bullying, why teenagers are so vulnerable, and I'm going to talk about some things that you can do about it, that any one of us can do about it. I want to hear from you today. What do you think about this issue? What is your experience? 1-800-222-5222. 1-800-222-5222. Stay with me after this break.
Ho, ho, ho. It's the most delicious time of the year at Norm's. Get a $10 bonus card when you purchase $50 in gift cards or a $5 bonus card with $30 in gift cards. Come all ye hungry to Norm's. Open 24/7. NormsRestaurants.com.
If you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, Please stay tuned for a special free offer from the makers of a revolutionary hearing breakthrough called Listen Clear. Listen Clear is precisely designed by top audio engineers to fit the ear almost invisibly, and it can be adjusted to find the perfect way to hear everything in every listening environment. Right now, we're offering absolutely free in-home trials to everyone who calls now. 1-800-600-0215. Call in the next 10 minutes, and you'll also receive free shipping and free batteries for life. Listen Clear is lightweight and practically invisible, so people won't notice when you're wearing it. So again, if you or someone you love is suffering from hearing loss, please give them or yourself this life-changing 100% free in-home trial with free shipping and free batteries for life. For free information, call now. 1-800-600-0215. That's 1-800-600-0215. 1-800-600-0215.
If you're a millennial, a snowflake, or wearing a safety pin, put on your big boy pants, because this stuff's about to get real.
To hear more, tune into Sam Nation, weeknights at 7 p.m. on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it all the time.
What are we going to do if we lose the house?
It's time to stop thinking and start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
KABC on-air contests are open to legal U.S. residents age 18 or older at the time of entry who reside in Los Angeles, Orange, San Bernardino, Riverside, or Ventura counties.
Employees of Cumulus Media Holdings Incorporated, its parent company, affiliates, related entities, and subsidiaries, other radio stations serving the listening area, and immediate family members and household members of all such employees are not eligible to participate.
Listeners may only win once every 30 days. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Limit one entry per person unless otherwise stated.
A complete copy of the rules can be obtained by visiting kabc.com/contest-rules.
Welcome back to the Dr. D Show. It is wonderful to have you with me. I'm a clinical and forensic neuropsychologist talking about bullying today. And we have a caller on the line on this topic. John, welcome to the show.
Short comment. You know, I'm 63 years old, raised in the Central Valley of California with an immigrant Filipino father and a mother from Oklahoma in a family of faith. And I went to Catholic schools, eventually went to the seminary to study for a number of years to be a Franciscan priest. I didn't continue, but one of the things, you know, we had the same sort of thing happen at schools to a very much smaller degree. And the schools stopped that by, you know, confronting the student, taking them out of the class, and telling them directly, this isn't going to go on. You can't do this to a classmate. We're here together to learn, and we're going to call your parents. And they would bring the parents in and talk about what's going on. And there was a sort of a social contract among the students and parents and teachers and sisters and the priests that I knew. And you would have to come back on Saturday and clean windows of classrooms, and the priest would be there with you. And then maybe three or four other students who had done things of other types. But you had to give up your free time, and you had to come and you had to listen. And you had to be part of that, or you wouldn't go to school there anymore.
John, I love what you're saying, because you're talking about accountability. And you're talking about stopping the daily functioning until the issue gets addressed and resolved and everybody gets committed to the cause. The not just the teachers, but the parents of the children have to follow through with that. That's how you resolve a problem. You don't resolve a problem by brushing it away.
Well, you can't, because somebody's emotions and personhood is involved. And it could be another guy or a girl. And there was kind of a, you know, there's this, it's often used in other terms, but there was this sense of a social contract. When you left your family, went out into the world, at least for me and my family and the friends that I had, you did not want to come home with a policeman escorting you or a sister calling your house and saying you had done something.
Right. So you're talking about a form of punishment or deterrent from actually being involved in that. You know, there would be some sense of embarrassment, right? There was some sense of a shame.
You know, because you went to the same churches. We were all part of the Filipino community. very traditional community. And if you were suspended from school, that was a real bad thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the family didn't, you know, and so anything that could be done to get it corrected with you making amends, and would often be, even the sisters would say, you come up with an idea in a way other than words, in addition to words, to apologize.
See,
you
so
figure
you're,
it out.
You, what you're describing also is something that we lost historically in this generation, which is the sense of community, the sense of belonging to a community. Now, if individuals are still belonging to one faith or another, or they live in a neighborhood that's unusually connected, that has a lot of close activities, they might still get the sense of community. And then there is the healthy concept of your identity within the community, right? Your identity within the community. And that's how identities are being formed. But when you live in a society where there's less and less community and more people on their own, functioning on their own for the, you know, everyone for themselves, you don't get that powerful impact of a community. Now, a powerful impact of a community can also go in a negative way. You know, you can be in a community when the community doesn't know how to handle someone and they're not treating a person well, and then it could be very detrimental. But overall, research shows that belonging to a community that has a good structure and set of values promotes overall a sense of accountability and a better behavior. There's always going to be bullies, but we need to know how to deal with them. John, I really thank you for this. This is very, very good insight for what we need for the show to really move some of these topics and understanding forward.
Well, let me end by saying that in my life, it was never a sense that this was all the teacher's responsibility, nor the priests or the nuns, whoever they happen to be. You sent your child out into the world. You raised them. And if something happens out of it that they did, you were accountable. And they would come and talk with you about, this, you know, does so-and-so do this other places? Is there something we should be concerned about here other ways?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they would find out things that were going on in the family or community, and they would help because it opened a door to needs that need to be addressed. But let me say this in terms of community. A lot of the people that were in our community were migrant farm workers. So we had people flowing in and out all year long. Sometimes you would see them in a following season of cycle of crops. Sometimes you wouldn't, but we didn't push anyone away just because they happened to come through, and, or they come into our classroom or came to church. They were just like us, you know, and so we were encouraged to go up to some new student that may be there for 3 weeks and take them outside, and when you have lunch, sit together.
Mm-hmm.
And
you see, again,
that I made, you know, that were just fleeting. They were friendships were for a short time, but that didn't matter, you know. And so what I think people need to do is think about legacy. And let me leave this with you, Doctor, and I want to thank you. You come into this life with nothing in your hands. You're born with your hands empty. Every human being will leave this life with your hands empty. Nothing you have ever done or made in this life of any material means will leave with you. The only thing you leave with is friends and those you cared about. And the memories.
Very well said, John. You know, I have patients across the board. I have clients who are CEOs and actors and famous people. And then I have people who, you know, have maybe a simpler life. And then I have patients in a lower socioeconomic status. And I will say that across the board, at the end of the day, we are human. And what makes us happy above and beyond are the relationships that we create with people, how we get treated in those relationships, how we treat others, whether we're being loved and cared for. And that is very fundamental for humans. And that is across culture, education, etc. It just is, and it's just a fact of life. Now, you know, John touched on another thing, and I'm going to actually follow through with that path. Responsibility the adults around that are involved in the situation. And that's important to understand that what do we know in the science of bullying? We know that there's a good percent of bullies who are being bullied themselves in their environment. See, a lot of times when a teenager gets bullied, they have no idea about the lives of the bullies. And many times they don't know that there's a good percent of the bullies who bully because they are being bullied in their own world. So what research shows is that people young people may be bullied by their parents or their siblings, and then they go and they bully other people in school, or the other way around. They get bullied in school, and then they come home and they bully their younger siblings. And so it's important to understand, to look at the outside, at the bigger picture. And we have another caller about this topic. Welcome to the show. Hello. Hi. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Can you hear me well?
I can hear you now. What is your name?
My name is Manuel Corona.
Hi, Manuel. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
You know what? I grew up being bullied a lot. I was always a smaller kid in school, and, you know, having older siblings, and it just happened to be one of those things that I experienced a lot. And, you know, it's had some effects on me throughout life. And, you know, I have a child of my own now. He's 1 year old. And, you know, it's a discussion my girlfriend and I have a lot, because, you know, I want him to be able to persevere through that, because being a child and being bullied has such long-lasting effects on people. And I don't want my kid to grow up like I did. And so I think it's just, I'm excited to hear people talk about this. I think it's coming to light a lot more. And I just wanted to say I'm very appreciative of this conversation, because it touches home with me a lot. Because
wonderful.
I dealt with a lot of issues growing up.
And, you know, I see it over and over again in therapy. And I am really, as a clinician, fed up with the fact that we're not addressing it properly. And let me give you some pointers, actually, things to think about as you're raising your child. First of all, you're absolutely correct that many times it has long-lasting effect. And the reason is because our personality gets developed and fully formed in our teenage years up until somewhere our mid-20s. So we are in a vulnerable time, but also a magical time in our teenager years, where we figure out our identity, and it becomes more honed in, and we get a sense of who we are. So when we get bullied through it as children and then as teenagers, there is a strong sense of confusion in terms of self-worth and value. If things go wrong, there is a self-doubt and almost immediately guilt that it's our fault. There's all kinds of things that come in when you get bullied and there is a doubt in your own sense of worth. So one
right.
very important thing that needs to be done is to make sure that your child, the teenager, and by the way, this is something I use in therapy, and I'm telling you that it's working, is first of all, show them and educate them that the world is much bigger than the world that they see. One thing is, I always like to show the person who's being bullied how many times the person that bullies them has their own problems, and they may be getting bullied in their environment. And then I show them, what does it mean to say self-worth? And I show them that they haven't really discovered who they are. And one thing you need to do is encourage the young person to be involved in activities outside of the social arena. Let them sign up to martial arts or art or sports or singing or money making or whatever it is their talent is. Let them create something I like to call small successes, okay? Let them experience success and winning within their own environment independently of the social arena. So there is something else that's combating that false sense of worthlessness with actual objective positive experiences that show them who they can potentially be. And what I find is that when young people get involved more in developing who they are and less in the development of what other people think of them, they become a stronger person. The day that you are free from the way other people think of you is the day you can find happiness.
Everything you said really hits home for me. These are things that I now, not only that I want to apply to my own kid's life, but for the most part, my own still, because I still have, you know, deal with some of these issues that, you know, started so long ago, and it just really touches home. My girlfriend's sitting right here and she's listening, and, you know, it's been a subject that has been really touchy for me in the past. And, you know, as I get older, it's a little easier to talk about, but I just want to say I appreciate the advice, and it's something that I definitely want to implement throughout my kid's life because I think it's so, so important. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And let's take it even into adulthood. And I'm going to give you one more thing to think about, okay? That's a very interesting fact before you go. Research shows that people who are very successful are not necessarily better than other people who are not as successful. But one thing they found out about them is that they worry less about what people think about them, and they worry less about their failures. They fail, they spend relatively less time thinking about it, and they move on to their new project. While people who wonder too much about their failures have a hard time continuing to create and do. So what I suggest for you to do is don't be so hard on yourself. Get up again. Don't worry about it so much. It's just, it's a life, it's a short life that we live here, and it's not worth it. At the end of the day, 99% of our failures mean relatively nothing in the scheme of things. And the things that matter most, you have full control over, such as how your kid is going to wake up in the morning when you tell them you love them.
That's right.
So with that in mind, I'm wishing you lots of great work with your kid. It sounds like you're going to be a great parent because you care. And thank you for bringing it forward to the show. And we're going to go into a break. And call us when we come back at 800-222-5222 to share with us what you think.
Welcome to Geico's Motorcycle Meanderings.
Oh, man, this is great. I sure saved a lot of money by switching to Geico. I scored some big savings, and now I can use their mobile app 24/7 for all sorts of stuff. Life just makes sense now. What doesn't make sense is, if a highway splits, it's a fork in the road, then wouldn't the long straight stretch be a knife in the road? And then, wouldn't a cul-de-sac be a spoon in the road? What would a spork be?
Geico Motorcycle. Savings that make sense.
You go to the dentist and find out you need a root canal or a periodontist, and that means another appointment with another doctor at another location, maybe in a couple of days or weeks. Well, now there's a much easier and affordable way. Dr. Messer Connie has put together a team of experts at LA Dentists Group, a collaborative dentistry practice, the newest field of dentistry, that provides a prosthodontist, periodontist, orthodontist, general cosmetic and sedation dentist, medical doctor, and anesthesiologist all under one roof. For anxious patients, they do safe sedation. They do implants, full mouth restoration, teeth straightening, smile makeovers with porcelain veneers and crowns, all under one roof. LA Dentist Group utilizes a 3D imaging scanner, so they can save you time by pre-planning treatments. They even have their own lab to personally supervise your final restoration. To schedule your appointment with Dr. Messer Connie and LA Dentist Group, call LA 888-95-TEETH, 888-95-TEETH, or ladentistgroup.com.
They can be some of the most interesting people, lawyers, politicians, judges, and authors. And every Saturday morning at 11 and Sunday night at 10 here on Champions of Justice, Tom Girardi talks with them about legal issues that affect your life and satisfy your curiosity. Tom asks the questions and you get to hear the surprising answers. It's a legal show that's interesting. Champions of Justice, Saturday morning at 11 and Sunday night at 10 here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Talk Radio 790
KABC.
Welcome back to the Dr. D Show. I am Dr. D Gaines, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, bringing to you the first neuropsychology show ever on air. And I'm talking today about bullying, and I'm talking about it because cyberbullying and bullying in school environments is becoming a real epidemic. Bullying has always been there because we've always had the mob, and the mob likes the gang, and that's just historically a fact. But things are becoming so bad in social media, and I want to talk about why it's becoming so bad. Well, first of all, we have this unique phenomenon in this generation we never had before, which is young people, teenagers, are exposed to socialization that is unsupervised. In fact, vast majority of their socialization is on social media. And we have this concept where images can be taken and utilized and abused in all sorts of ways. Now, why it's such a horrible combination, being in an unsupervised socialization environment that's very potent throughout the day for legally vulnerable individuals, because they are cognitively vulnerable. By definition, they are not fully developed until their mid-20s, is because it happens to be that teenagers go through something we call, and that's, by the way, a developmental thing that they go through. It's normal. They go through something called adolescent centrism. Teenagers believe that the world revolves around them and that their experience is the main and most significant experience in the room. And that not only that centrism is so powerful, but there is an imaginary audience that is watching everything they're doing and paying attention to everything they're doing. When a teenager is walking into a party, they believe that everybody's looking at them and everybody's noticing every single thing that they're doing. And that makes them feel very self-conscious and anxious. And it makes teens vulnerable to the formation of what we call self-worth, which occurs in the teens and in early adulthood years. When teenagers get bullied verbally and physically and called names, and doubt is put in their heads as to the value of the way they look or the way they contribute to society or whether they're smart or not, etc., it puts them at a high risk for a poor sense of self-image that often results eventually in self-harm, in self-negative talk, and eventually with physically harming behaviors and even suicidal thinking and suicidal attempts. It is important to understand that constant bullying, which happens over time, if nobody stops it, which most of the times it doesn't get stopped, and many times the parents are not even aware that it's going on because there's not close enough communication between the teenager and the parents, that things continue to deteriorate, and then the teenager starts developing depression and anxiety. Many times they will come to the professional environment and be put on medications, and then they continue to deteriorate. Medications can only take the edge off of things. They cannot resolve the problem. They are not a solution. Unless in very, very specific cases where there's an independent biochemical process going. So in these cases where there's a lot of social issues and a lot of environmental factors that are involved, the medication is not going to be the solution. So the person will likely to continue to deteriorate. And unless the issues are really being addressed and the young person is receiving tools on how to deal with the bullying in their environment, and the parents get involved in making sure that everything stops until the issues gets addressed, the young person needs to get respect for what they're going through and know that they're being protected. Every time that they're not being protected and nothing gets done and things get shoved under the carpet, it strengthened their sense of, it is justified that I'm being bullied. It's justified that I'm going through this. My worth is not there. I am worthless. I am not important. All of these types of feelings and emotions that lead them eventually to being severely depressed and suicidal get strengthened by the lack of us taking actions in those situations. Now, it's important to understand that parents can be just as bad, if not worse, than the children themselves. Here's a case, 2008. A mother faces jail and $300,000 fine for setting up fake MySpace profile to bullying a girl who later killed herself. So a mother actually took the time to create a MySpace account, a fake profile that she ended up using to bully a 13-year-old girl from her own daughter's classroom, apparently. I mean, what does it take an adult woman to do something like that? But yet again, we know that there are very disturbed adults out there that are doing very terrible things to young people. So you could see that the emotional distress that was created for that young 13-year-old ended up causing her to go and kill herself. So this is serious business we're talking about. This is murder. When you read the descriptions of what these young people go through in terms of bullying, they get told they're ugly, they're fat, they're not worth anything. They get pushed and shoved and choked until they lose air. They get forced to eat food from the floor or go eat food in the bathroom. They get forced to do sexual things they don't want to do. And they are kids. All you have to do is think about how you were when you were a teenager. How much you didn't know. How young you were. How vulnerable you were. How many things you still didn't know about life and the world. And then you take somebody like that and you subject them to things that adults would be severely affected by. Just think about that contrast and you will understand why some of these kids end up becoming suicidal, okay? It's extremely traumatic to be treated that way. And over and over and over, it will deteriorate the sense of self. So it's very important to understand that one has to take this very seriously, okay? This is not a superficial thing. And teachers need to think about this. I was a teacher for many years before I was a doctor. I was a teacher, an accountant. I also served ice cream at some point in my life. So I did all kinds of things. I was dedicated to become a clinician. But I'll say that it's, you know, teachers have the same accountability here. Can you go to sleep at night knowing that one of your students was shoved against the wall and beat up? And you know that tomorrow they're going to go through something of the same. Can you go to sleep at night? What kind of a teacher are you? What kind of a parent are you? Letting another child being treated that way. One thing I like to do with young people is, you know, young people worship naturally actors, actresses. We all think that famous people are superhuman and, you know, receive the silver spoon or something crazy like that. I like to show them a list of all the famous rich people who were severely bullied when they were young. Now, I can't prove to them that on the same couch that they're sitting and telling me their stories was sitting just yesterday a famous person who everyone envies, not knowing that that person has gone through bullying or even goes through bullying at the present as an adult. Okay? I can't prove that to them, but what I can show them is articles that are describing first account or videos of first account of famous people describing what they were going through when they were young. Here's an example. Miley Cyrus. In one situation, they said they even locked her in the girls' washroom. She was trapped there for an hour and pounded on the door until her fist hurt and nobody would let her out. Horrible. Going through that over and over again. There's all sorts of reasons why teenagers can become very mean. And our job as adults and as a society is to know how to set the boundaries. Not everything is okay. And no, we are not their friends first. We're supposed to be their teachers and leaders and mentors. So if you have a story, if you want to say something about this, if you have an idea about how you handled bullying or what do you think should be done, call us at 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222, because I want to hear about your story and I want to hear about what you think. And one thing I would also like to say that I have found very helpful is, and that, by the way, requires work and, you know, being on social media or on the computer is attractive for parents because it's this great free babysitting. And you know, parents can very easily, we can very easily justify letting young people spend many hours on social media. But the best thing to do is, like I said before, sometimes there are times to use strength, is to turn everything off and let them do something else. Show them how they create and do outside of the cyber world, which is not a real world. Okay? It's not a real world in many ways. Create and do outside of that world, and by that, developing their identity. Is it art? Is it cooking? Is it developing your own business? Is it singing? What is it? There's so much to do. There was a lot going on before social media. And there's a lot out there. And spending your life trying to battle ghosts who say things about you in social media is fruitless. And it's very, very toxic for us as people. It's worth much more to sit down for a cup of coffee with someone at a coffee shop and have a wonderful conversation with someone who you know will protect your feelings. Nobody ever teaches us that socialization is something we should choose only with people we trust and know how to say no and put boundaries on who's going to go into your social life and setting and kick those people out who do not know how to behave in your own world. This is your world, and only certain people get to be invited to that world because it's yours. That is the mindset we need to think about. That's how you teach people what's right and wrong in your environment and what's okay with you. We need to teach boundaries. It's a wonderful thing to be able to say no to things that don't feel right to you. And we need to teach young people that they have the ability to choose, that they have the power to choose. So everything that I'm saying, all of it has to be utilized together at the same time when we're helping somebody who's being bullied. We need to deal with the school, with the teachers. We need to not move it towards day-to-day life functioning until things get resolved. We need to hold the parents of the bullies accountable. We need to hold the bullies accountable. We need to teach our loved ones how to develop self-worth outside of social media. And all of that requires work, but why not? When you have a house and you start having a leak and problems here and there, you go fix all of these different issues and you make sure that every single segment in your house is taken care of so your house can function. And that is what life is about. You are fixing your house. I think that issue of identity is very crucial and very important, above and beyond just doing trying to resolve things with medication or talk therapy. Talk therapy can be utilized to resolve and address all these issues that I'm listing. And productivity, the doing, is where the healing is. We need to do. We need to take ourselves as human beings and utilize ourselves, put our talents into action. The doing is the healing. As long as you're taking a passive approach of, I need to be fixed by something external, I need to be fixed by pills, I need to be fixed by somebody telling me things, I need people around me who would tell me great things about me, I need to watch something that's going to make me feel good. I need to be in an environment that's, you know... Okay, these things are good and nice, but they're not nearly as powerful as the fixing that comes from within. Through action, through doing, through learning, through engaging, and through committing. Committing yourself to the healing. That is very important and very fundamental. And the way I see it, while we understand that bullies maybe have been bullied themselves by others, and that's good for experts and clinicians to understand and do, for people who are trying to heal, the most important thing to do is to focus on their own healing. It's good to understand that potentially there are things that are leading the bully to the behavior that they do, but that doesn't give an endorsement or permission for them to continue to bully others. I have seen that too, where as a community, we may be feeling bad for someone who's bullying other people because, oh, well, you know, they don't have this and they don't have that, and that's why they're bullying others. Feeling bad for someone doesn't mean endorsing their behavior. Feeling bad for someone doesn't mean allowing them to continue to do something that's harming to others. We can feel bad for someone, but independently of that, hold them accountable for what's going on and what they do. As soon as we go down to the path where people are not being held accountable because of 101 reasons, we're going down a very dangerous path. And what we're doing is we're really doing injustice, like I said before, to the ones who really truly need help and support. And with that in mind, we're going into a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about some other strategies we can use that come to bullying, into bullying. And I want to encourage you to call in the show if you want to share your thoughts and feelings about this topic, bullying and cyberbullying. 800-222-5222, 800-222-5222. This is Dr. D. Gaines. Don't leave town.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-735-7485 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-735-7485 to take your call now. Call 877-735-7485. That's 877-735-7485. Again, 877-735-7485.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We're retired, and this is how we live United.
We decided to volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too. We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic. We don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Why did the chicken cross the road? To go have breakfast with McIntyre in the morning, live from Penn's Restaurant, where good food and good people naturally come together. Friday morning, 5 to 10. Grab some breakfast, join the fun, and get smart. At the corner of La Cienega and La Tijera, delicious holiday fun from 790 KABC.
Welcome back to the Dr. D Show. It is wonderful to have you with us here. We are talking about bullying, cyberbullying, the major problem with teenagers and young people suffering horrible abuse. And, you know, we're thinking about what was going on during the election, and there's nothing new about that. I mean, it was awful and it was brutal, and it's still going on. You know, so I want to hear from you. 800-222-5222. What do you think about bullying? 800-222-5222. Meanwhile, I want to talk about something we sometimes don't realize. Okay, vast majority of individuals are not perfect. Okay, the myth of being beautiful and smart and thin and clever and socially amazing is not a normal state for most human beings, and especially for young people who are developing and they're still forming. So there's all kinds of like things about young people that are not perfect, right? There's periods of times they might be gaining weight and hormonal stages. They might have acne. They might be socially awkward. Sometimes someone is suffering from learning disabilities. We also have an array of disorders autism, ADHD, various kinds of learning disabilities, brain injury, depression, speech impairment, and cultural differences, poverty, and I can go on and on for all the, again, 101 reasons why someone will be more vulnerable to be bullied. And we do find that young individuals who suffer from one thing or another are more likely, are at higher risk of being bullied. And they might turn out to be the most talented, amazing person when they're older, and they might still be at that given time having all kinds of wonderful talents, but having one challenge or another places them at that level of risk. And so when you look at your children, when you look at your students, notice the children who have some level of vulnerability and pay extra attention to see how they get treated based on that vulnerability. Is it putting them at risk? How are they overcoming that? Is their sense of self being strengthened and built despite having one vulnerability or another? Are they learning to be proud of all the other many good parts within them? It's very important to understand that. I will also share that studies show that very creative individuals, very highly emotionally intelligent individuals, are more likely to potentially be bullied. Their strong sense of creativity and emotional acuity also makes them more vulnerable to the way people talk to them and treat them. And by that, puts them also at a high risk of being mistreated socially. And so it's important to recognize that and build their sense of self as they develop and go through the process of understanding their own identity. And, nobody ever tells us that, but we need to open the door to discussions with our parents about our strengths and our weaknesses, what's unique about our personality, what things we're great at, what things we're not so great at, what areas we need to work on. The concept of, it's an old statement, it's called tikkun, the fixing of the self. What areas we need to fix. With that in mind, we have a caller online. Mark, welcome to the show. Mark?
Hello?
Hi, Mark. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Good, good.
I was just curious. I have nieces and nephews, and not that I'm suspecting them of cyberbullying, but is there anything that I can, any sort of clues that can, pinpoint to know whether or not they're doing that sort of thing? Because they're kind of getting to that age where they're becoming aware of technology.
The best strategy with young people is to tell a story. If you want to find out how they're doing, tell a story about someone else. So I would open the conversation, in a very comfortable environment where they're not feeling like they're being investigated, maybe around the table. Even bring a story from the news, that's appropriate for their age, and say, there's a lot of bullying going on and some people suffering from it, and, or there was this girl, and then make a description. Many times young people feel much more comfortable expressing themselves and what they do and what their thoughts are about a topic when you don't address them directly. So I would do it through storytelling.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So that was a great question because that was a practical question. Okay. That was excellent. So, with that in mind, I just want to summarize the topic of bullying. There's a lot that can be done. There are a lot of great sites to read about it, how to handle it. And the most important thing is get your kids involved. Have conversations about it. I would not do it in an accusatory way. I would not do it in a mean way. I would use it as an opportunity for growth. I would use it as an opportunity to open a discussion and learn about them and learn about the topic altogether. I for my kids and my family, I assigned topics, believe it or not, to our family to investigate.